Eau Claire and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper in Manchester, New Hampshire, where CBS News projects that former President Donald Trump wins the New Hampshire Republican primary, defeating Nikki Haley.
This is a fantastic state. This is a great, great state. You know, we won New Hampshire three times now, three. We win it every time. We win the primary, we win the generals, we've won it, and it's a very, very special place to me. It's very important.
Haley congratulating Trump and saying she's staying in.
This race is far from over. There are dozens of states left to go.
As for voters, they said the economy and immigration were top issues for them. One in five voters made up their minds in the last few days. Next up for the GOP is the South Carolina Republican primary. That is 1 month from today. South Carolina, of course, Nikki Haley's home state. I'm Matt Piper in Manchester, New Hampshire. Now with more CBS News, here's Deborah Rodriguez.
Russia says one of its military transport planes has gone down. Reuters video shows an eyewitness reacting to a massive fireball and a huge column of thick black smoke at the crash site. CBS's Vicky Barker is at the foreign desk.
Russia's defense ministry says the military transport plane was carrying 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war when it crashed in the Belgorod region of Russia near the border with Ukraine. No word on any survivors and no word on the cause of the crash. Russia's news agency says the POWs were being transported to the border region for a prisoner exchange.
Another snafu at Boeing. A 757 operated by Delta lost a nose wheel as it was getting ready to take off from Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International over the weekend. The FAA says the part came off and rolled down a hill. No one was hurt. Passengers were put on a replacement flight. 170 Boeing 737 MAX 9s have been grounded for weeks after a door panel blew off on an Alaska Airlines flight in midair. eBay says it'll respond to stiffer competition and less consumer spending by laying off about 1,000 full-time employees. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
For a long time, it seemed as though the tech industry was going through a correction, cutting staff after massive hiring sprees during the pandemic. The continued layoffs throughout the tech industry suggests something more is happening.
Three more baseball greats headed to the Hall of Fame.
Beltre to deep left field. High, deep, and out of here.
Third baseman Adrian Beltre voted in. Catcher Joe Mauer and first baseman Todd Helton headed to Cooperstown, too. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers voted to amend a bill to ban abortion after 14 weeks on Tuesday. The amendment allowed exceptions for rape and incest and requires doctors to make reasonable efforts to preserve the life of a fetus during a medical emergency. The bill got a public hearing on Monday, where both Democrats and pro-life activists railed against the bill. Governor Evers has said that he would not sign the bill if it made it to his desk. President Biden will be back in town on Thursday. He plans to talk about his administration's efforts to rebuild the nation's infrastructure in Superior. Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnick Bridge connecting Superior to Duluth, thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The president's visit comes after Vice President Kamala Harris visited the Waukesha area on Monday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks searching for a new head coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are conducting interviews after firing their head coach, Adrian Griffin, yesterday, just halfway into the regular season. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski broke the story.
An agonizing decision for this Milwaukee organization. They were very fond of Adrian Griffin. They gave him his first head coaching opportunity, and they made a decision to make the change. They told Adrian Griffin that he's out.
Veteran NBA coach Doc Rivers said to be a leading candidate. The 62-year-old 30-year-old Rivers, fired by the 76ers last May. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers with a 61-59 win over the Gophers in Minnesota. Tyler Wall with 16 points, including a pair of free throws with just 5 seconds left, says they needed to be a little more consistent.
I think we started out the game sticking to the game plan pretty well. Not necessarily sloppy, but we didn't have urgency that we needed to on the three-point shooters. But we talked about it in a few of the timeouts, got it straightened out, and at that point, it was kind of a dogfight.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Patchy dense fog this morning. Could be a little light freezing drizzle, too, with temperatures hovering a little below the freezing mark. Otherwise, cloudy, dreary, kind of foggy off and on through the day with a high of 35. Tonight, could see a little light freezing rain or a few snow flurries late tonight, our low 32. Tomorrow, cloudy with showers and a high right around 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Oh, that would be me. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, January the 24th, 2024. 1-24-24. Another beautiful day to have you here up north. I mean, it feels beautiful. I don't know if it looks beautiful because there's apparently some very dense fog in places. But trust me, at some point, the fog lifts and you go, hey, this is a beautiful part of the world. And it is. And we're glad to have you up here for it on our weekday morning visits live from Lake Wissota and all across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app or through social media video feeds on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and even by podcast. Nice to have you along. We have a full show today. We have the governor's State of the State address was held last night. We'll talk a bit about what was in the speech. What is Tony Evers wanting for Wisconsin in 2024? We will talk to Melissa Baldoff about it as well in our weekly climate change update, which will have a special focus on the speech. We will also talk to Senator Tammy Baldwin in our second hour. About an hour from now, we'll be talking to her about how she helped bring home $1 billion for a massive but much-needed infrastructure program up north. We'll also talk to her about the makings of a potential border and immigration deal, which might, emphasis on might, break an immigration reform and border security logjam that has been going on for years and years. We have our weekly homeroom segment where we're going to get a sense of just how many school districts are going to referendum this spring because the legislature still refuses to fully fund a quality public education in our state. We'll talk to folks from the Menominee and the Burlington areas, two of the districts that are going to referendum to continue regular operations of teaching our children. And the New Hampshire primary was held last night, so we'll talk briefly about that as the 2024 presidential campaign kind of goes into a bit of a hiatus here now after Iowa and New Hampshire. That's going to be a month until the next South Carolina primary is coming up next. So we're in a bit of a holding pattern there for better or for worse. Some of us would like to just get it over with here. But let's look at the weather again, because again, here's my question of the day for you. Are you driving carefully? Because again, dense fog is expected in many places throughout the morning with, they say, the potential for patchy freezing fog or freezing drizzle to slick things up. So even if things are going just fine right now wherever you're driving, it can change in an instant. So watch your speeds, keep an eye on that horizon, because if you can't see too far in front of you,
you don't know if you're going to be running into a trouble spot. So by all means, take it easy. If you want to let us know what conditions are like by you or have a question or comment on the day's news, our phone line number is 844-967-2789. Greg Box in Waukesha, I got to bring him in early here. The phone number, the 844-967-2789.
Yeah.
Has Jane Matinere of the now famous Matinere On Air program, has she trademarked the alternative way to describe the phone number? Is it exclusively part of her domain, adopted from As Goes Wisconsin, or can I invite you to help me with the phone number as well?
We can do a licensing agreement if you'd like.
Okay.
So if you do it, we get 30% of the revenue, but we'll also help you with 25% of the costs.
How much revenue are you making on your phone call? Anyway, what I'm getting at is I occasionally will mention the phone number, but sometimes if you catch Greg and Jane, it'll go like this. The phone number is 844-967-2789 or 844-96-PARTY. There we go. Yeah. Okay.
And I wish more people, I wish Earl would do that. I want to hear Earl Ingram just in his very, intentional, very purposeful very voice, just yes. Go, party.
Party. Let's do that. Let's get a bunch of drop-ins from everybody. I want to hear Jane. I want to get Dom or, you know, somebody just going, party.
Party?
And it's a nice coincidence that it's 844-96-PARTY. Because I don't know that anybody dials a phone with the letters on the pad anymore.
No.
Honestly, are they even on there?
Yeah, they're still.
I'm going to go.
They're on my cell phone.
I'm bringing up my phone right now. Yep, the letters are still on there. You could actually dial 844-96-PARTY and reach us.
Yep.
Seems like a long way to go for a short punch. I'm glad we gave it our best effort.
That's what we call
in
my industry, a long walk.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's get back on track here. We were doing temperatures across the area and talking about the fog as well. It's 31 here on Lake Wissota, 30 up in Hayward, 28 in Park Falls. Wausau, you're checking in at 29 right now. Green Bay, 32. La Crosse, 33. Wisconsin Rapids is at 30 degrees right now. Oshkosh, 33. Madison, 32. Waukesha, 32. Everybody's in that very, tight band either side of freezing. And either side of trouble on the roads. So, again, please just use all proper caution to get there. So, yeah, we had State of the State. I was getting ready for that. New Hampshire primary. So many other things to come up. Oscar nominations. We could talk about that. And then, Greg, I wish Joe Zepecki, sadly, the guy I turned to for Bucks Talk, is off this week. So I don't even have him to go to for the what to me seemed like a bombshell yesterday afternoon, that the Milwaukee Bucks, with one of the best records in the league, said to new head coach Adrian Griffith, no, thanks. Time for you to go.
I was going to tell you, this is my last show, Pat. I'm going to be putting my application to coach the Bucks, because if a man could go in there and help them get a very winning season, there are some stinkers in there. I definitely can do it if their standards are so low that they're going to, I don't know. It just seems ridiculous. And I'm not a basketball fan. And when I heard that, I was like, what? Aren't they winning right now? Aren't they doing well?
It is. And I would only know this from talking to Joe Zepecki and listening a bit to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area.
Yeah.
And they were the ones who brought up that in getting rid of Drew Holiday and bringing on Damian Lillard, you were going to have this team that could score, 140 points.
Yes.
But they're also now going to give up 140 points. Yeah. And apparently, and I believe this because I've heard it with enough of these losses, they're basically getting by on defense.
Yeah.
But the team is like, this is not sustainable. For whatever reason, they feel like they need better defensive coaching than what Adrian Griffith was going to give them. And also, so they're looking at bringing in Doc Rivers. But again, to me, it's like you already have two of the greatest players in the league right now in Lillard and Antetokounmpo. I'm just not sure what they're looking for in a coach.
Well, one, I mean, get a new – I mean, I don't know. Does basketball have defensive coaches, or is it just the coach?
Hey, Joe Barry, that's it. We solve two problems at once. The Bucks get a new defensive coordinator, and the Packers can go look for a new – I think we've struck gold here. Gold, Jerry. Greg, right? Yes.
Glad I could help. I'm really glad I could help. I just don't get it. I don't understand the move. I mean, if that was the big problem, why not search for players who are excellent defensive players? Or hey, why don't you bring Drew Holiday back? Come on, baby.
Yeah. Maybe. So we're going to, well, I'm sure we're going to get a big I told you so from Joseph Pecky next week when he comes back. And I glossed over briefly the Oscar nominations, and I'm sure a lot of folks have heard by now the big news is that while the Barbie movie was nominated, Ryan Gosling was nominated for Ken.
Yeah.
But Greta Gerwig, the director, not nominated. Margot Robbie, Barbie, not nominated. And so it just, everybody seized on the fact that for the Barbie movie, Barbie and Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated, but Ken did, which is basically the plot of the Barbie movie. About the patriarchy.
Someone put up, they said Greta Gerwig co-wrote, directed a movie that brought energy back to theaters, made over $1 billion, and was critically acclaimed and financially successful, and she doesn't get the flowers she deserves. And of course, what does Ryan Gosling do? He puts out a beautiful statement praising the both of them, thanking whomever for the, you know, he's very appreciative of the nomination, but he also recognizes the fact that this would never have happened without the two of them, because Margot Robbie was a producer of the movie too. So
right.
This isn't just like, you know, this is like death by a thousand cuts. It's just pure, not cool. Not cool, Robert Frost.
It is. Again, it's just the metaphors are flowing like Niagara Falls off of this thing. And we're going to hear a lot about it between now and then. Although it does actually make me think, for any folks who haven't seen the movie yet, you better go look it up, because if you plan on watching the Oscars, they are going to be falling all over themselves. To praise that movie, to kind of make up for this level of snubbery.
This bunglery.
Bunglery. Ooh, yeah. I like that one.
Yeah.
Even I don't use that one.
I think
one.
I made that
I'm
word
older
up.
Than you. That's probably why I never used it. All right, so we mentioned the Bucks firing Adrian Griffin. However this goes down with, Doc Rivers or with, an interim coach, either way, the Bucks have two home games coming up against the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight and again on Friday. Cleveland in town for a two-game series. And then Saturday, they're home against the New Orleans Pelicans. And you can catch the game tonight against Cleveland on locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. In college basketball, the 8th-ranked Badger men's basketball team, or I'm sorry, 13th-ranked, beat the Minnesota Gophers 61-59 Tuesday night. Took it right down to the buzzer. Wisconsin was able to hang on for the victory. Next, they host Michigan State, and that is Friday, 7 p.m. at the Kohl Center. That is going to be a very big game. Let's see. The Marquette women were thumped by number 8 UConn, 85-59. UConn now getting its 13th consecutive victory. In a moment, we're going to talk about the State of the State address. And while we'll get more into the substance of what Governor Evers talked about, it's also worth mentioning that when you watch it, and of course I watched it, and you watch only half of the assembly chamber stand up, sit down to applaud the governor. And I don't blame folks who go, is this really what we do now? Is this old-fashioned oratory? The way that we handle the state of the state, could this be delivered, through hashtags and tweets and TikTok videos instead? Maybe it would get more eyeballs on it. Regardless of the delivery method, some important things that affect life in Wisconsin are at stake, and we're going to describe them coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning when you're here. You're up north. Back in a bit.
The Tap.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Okay.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know?
This was the number one song on this day in 1976, Diana Ross, with the theme from Mahogany. I don't know much about Mahogany, the movie. I feel like I should look it up. All I know about Mahogany is that it was showing at a drive-in theater back in 1976. It was that classic drive-in theater thing where there's like a movie that's more geared for kids. There's something more for the family. And then later, apparently they figure the kids are asleep and there's something that's much more like, you know, adult fare, you know, your R-rated movies and things like that. I just remember waking up at some point in the car and looking up on the screen and your little brain is like, no. No, 10-year-old me should not be watching this movie. And then I went back to sleep. But that's what passed for a V-chip back in the day. I was hoping the kids were asleep by the time the third movie aired over the drive-in. Let's get to the state of the state. Governor Tony Evers delivered it well into his second term now. But again, coming back to the legislature again and again with a to-do list saying, you know, can we work some of these things out in the middle? Republicans typically saying no, and Evers finding a way around it. Classic example deals with what will now be the largest land conservation purchase in Wisconsin history for the Pelican River Forest. And that's about 70,000 acres east of Rhinelander. The U.S. Forest Service is paying 75% of the easement cost, but Republicans balked at helping pay for the rest. And so we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff a bit about that in a couple of minutes in our climate check report about the significance of the governor being able to find the funds and get that done. The governor also vowed in his State of the State speech again to veto any bill that would limit women's access to abortion care, even as Republicans again moved forward with a measure that, you know, could lead to a 14-week abortion ban. Republicans yesterday did add exceptions for rape and incest, but again, they know the governor's not going to go along with this. It's political posturing rather than doing, you know, anything that's productive. In terms of doing something that's productive, the governor declared that 2024 is going to be the year of the worker and that he would like the legislature to really focus on addressing the workforce shortage overall and specific to certain industries like healthcare and education and even the state government workforce. The way that he put it to the legislators is that no is not a workforce development plan. In other words, he's offered ways to support education, support worker training, and the legislature has rejected those. But he said, of course, it started with the word folks. Folks, no isn't a workforce plan. Asking more kids to work isn't a workforce plan. Giving more big breaks to millionaires and billionaires isn't a workforce plan. These are not serious proposals to address generational statewide issues is, you know, the way that he put it. Actually, I think we have audio of Evers talking about that workforce part of his plan. Let's give a quick listen.
Last year, Wisconsin had an all-time lowest number of unemployed workers ever in modern history. and our state's labor force participation rate also consistently remained above the national average throughout the year. So it's time we get rid of that old talking point that Wisconsinites aren't working or working hard. Wisconsinites work hard, and they are working. From my vantage point, three things are key to addressing our state's workforce challenges. First, we must find a long-term solution to our state's looming child care crisis. Second, we must expand paid family leave. And third, we must invest in public education at every level, early childhood to our technical colleges and universities. Without continued investments in child care counts, our workforce will suffer mightily. 2,110 child care programs are projected to close. 87,000 kids could be without child care. We could lose over 4,880 child care jobs. That's about $500 million of economic impact on our state.
That's a big impact on the state if we don't address the child care crisis. It is part of workforce development. And for a party on the Republican side that, you know, has historically loved to say that they're the party of job creators, what's still lacking from them is a workforce development plan that doesn't involve cutting taxes for people in the highest brackets, which Republicans this week are trying again. For a third time, they're passing through a tax cut bill that puts so much of the benefits at the upper end of the income spectrum and then blows a hole in the budget, rather than using the billions, literally billions of dollars still out there in the budget surplus to deliver, you know, one-time relief, maybe restructure the tax brackets, engage in things that can close some of these worker shortages in some of these key industries. And instead, they're working on the same old bills for a third go-around. The governor also addressed the controversy, well, it shouldn't be a controversy, over PFAS, industrial chemicals that are increasingly being found in our water supply. And he called out Republicans, rightly so, for, on the one hand, approving a budget that has a certain dollar amount pegged toward cleaning up PFAS, but then attaching strings that say, well, now we've got to hold a vote on every one of the spending projects inside that pot of money. Why? It just holds things up, as the governor explains here.
That's great news, but here's the rub. I signed that budget last July. Today's January 23rd. It's been over 200 days, and Republicans have not released 1 cent of that investment. $125 million investment to fight PFAS statewide, sitting right here in Madison because Republicans refuse to release it. That's breathtaking. Republicans, please release this funding so that we can get it out to families, child care facilities, schools, businesses, and communities across the state who need it.
And it is. It's sorely needed. $125 million. Both parties came together and said, yes, let's take this seriously. Or the Republicans had their fingers crossed behind their backs when they voted for that $125 million pot because, as the governor said, they now have to vote on every single spending request within it, and they haven't taken up any of them yet. So out of $125 million, $0 has gone to cleaning up pollution in Wisconsin. All right, let me close quickly here with the New Hampshire primary. Donald Trump won, but not in the runaway that would be expected when you have as many independent voters as could weigh in. But that's in keeping with Trump's legacy. Nikki Haley pointed it out during her remarks yesterday in New Hampshire.
With Donald Trump, Republicans have lost almost every competitive election. We lost the Senate. We lost the House. We lost the White House. We lost in 2018. We lost in 2020. And we lost in 2022. The worst kept secret in politics is how badly the Democrats want to run against Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Trump's a loser.
He's a loser.
They.
So she understands, and that's why she's going to stay in the race. Melissa Baldoff coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
To the big-hearted, the bold,
the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
We are quickly moving through the month of January. Can we still squeeze out some exports? I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Boy, I'll tell you what, that window of opportunity is definitely closing with the South American crop now coming forward to take center stage. John Heinberg, market advisor, says we really need corn exports to pick up.
Basically, January, February, March is our window to be the leader in the export market. The Brazilian market has kind of lost some of its supply. Argentina has been dealing with 2 years of drought, but they have a record corn crop forecasted for this year coming at us. You know, so these next few months are vital, and we need to see those sales numbers really pick up, as well as the shipment numbers for corn. And then we got to see what happens with that South American production. So it's going to be a very interesting point over the next few weeks here to see if we can get those numbers that we need that can help support price, you know, on top of our large supply that we're trying to work through. At least that's what's forecasted out there.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, one of the keynote speakers yesterday during the Ag Outlook Forum on the UW campus. He also said another big concern that corn growers specifically have to focus in on: China moving more and more of its business to South America. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. So far, they're showing green. Numbers are next.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom, brought by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain, because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers. A vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance. Keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Fairly quiet in the dairy complex yesterday. The 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 150. The barrel cheese dropped 0.75 cents to 146, and AA butter was unchanged, 254.5. Starting off on a Wednesday morning, March corn is up 2. December new crop up a penny at 478. March beans right now, nickel stronger. November new crop up 2.5 at 1209. July wheat's up a nickel, 618. February class 3 milk right now down 3. 1567 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session, I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
93.5, The Tap.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
Patchy dense fog this morning. Could be a little light freezing drizzle, too, with temperatures hovering a little below the freezing mark. Otherwise, cloudy, dreary, kind of foggy off and on through the day with a high of 35. Tonight, could see a little light freezing rain or a few snow flurries late tonight, our low 32. Tomorrow, cloudy with showers and a high right around 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
It's electric!
And we're back now with our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff, special State of the State edition, at least for starters here. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. How about you?
I'm good, thanks. So the governor, you know, there's, you know, having worked in his office and my having sat through some of these with Governor Doyle, there's so many things that you can choose from to put into a State of the State. And, you know, some mm-hmm. things make the cut and some things do not. But all in all, when you look at the speech in total, what were your first impressions of it?
I thought that it was both a really nice reminder to people of everything that has been accomplished and how the governor and the administration are doing what they can to, you know, honor the will of the people, get things done on important issues like education, mental health, housing, workforce training, climate, water quality. And then it was also a reminder of how much Republicans are standing in the way on further progress. So I thought it was both a good reminder that Wisconsinites chose right when they elected Governor Evers both times, and they have someone who is committed to doing the right thing for the people of this state. And they also, you know, have a legislature who is not willing to work with him to get things done. And we could be so much further. We could be enjoying the kind of progress that our neighbors in Michigan and Minnesota are seeing. So that was kind of my takeaway.
Exactly. So in when he kind of took the glass half full approach on things, especially say related to climate, he had an interesting remark saying that a Wisconsinite tuning in from their TV at home is using electricity 100% solar powered and carbon free. Because he says we've approved enough solar projects across the state, 4,000 megawatts worth, to power more than 750,000 homes with average electricity usage for 365 days straight. So let's dig into that a little bit. When he says electricity that's 100% solar powered, it doesn't mean that, you know, there's no more, you know, fossil fuels being used. But the point is that there is that potential there because of investments that have been made, right?
Absolutely. There is that potential. And as we've talked about, you know, in recent weeks with guests, you know, there is that potential. There is a lot in the works and in the pipeline. And, you know, one of the other things that the governor really, you know, wanted to focus in on tonight and, you know, declared this year 2024, the year of the worker, is that the clean economy is going to create thousands and thousands of good paying jobs. So when we talk about 2024 being the year of the worker, a lot of those jobs and a lot of those workers are going to be folks who are working on solar. They are working in renewables. They are working to make, you know, batteries for electric vehicles. They are people who are installing on wind farms. You know, this is going to be a real shift in the workforce as we transition to that clean energy economy. So when workers are winning, they're going to be winning in those fields.
And again, a point that we've made and will continue to make here is that there will be people, say, on the Republican side of the aisle who maybe don't care to see this as a clean energy matter or as a climate matter, but they certainly understand job creation. They certainly understand, you know, the economic impact of creating new jobs, and that maybe that will make them a little less obstinate, shall we say, for proposals, you know, that the governor would bring up. The governor also talked about in terms of, you know, the climate and the environment. He talked about working with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission and both the Menominee and the Lacoutere tribal nations to preserve and restore wild rice in Wisconsin. And he says it directly, and I believe we have too, that, you know, wild rice is directly threatened by the effects of a changing climate and the impact on water quality. And while that may not affect, you know, the majority of people in Wisconsin, it is still extremely important for our neighbors in our tribal nations.
It is. And, you know, it's also one of those things where we've talked recently about biodiversity. And even if wild rice is not something that is on most people's mind or on their radar, it's one of those crops that has, you know, that ripple effect, and why it's important that we are preserving all different parts of, you know, our natural elements here. You know, everything is connected to one another. So this is a really important issue, not just for our tribal nations, but for, you know, this, you know, cultural resource in general.
Very much so. And one other environmental note that I couldn't help but note was his announcement of approval of the largest forest conservation effort in state history. And there are some political undertones to this, but there is definitely a tie-in to the climate and our environment as well. But he noted the approval of a conservation easement covering 55,000 acres of the Pelican River Forest. This is going to be one of the largest conservation projects in state history. And it's something that, again, Republicans have been blocking by, again, essentially staying on the side of developers who would, you know, take down some of this forest land and create golf courses or strip malls or what have you. And rather than work with the Evers administration, you know, to have it planned out in a deliberative manner, they're simply just standing in the way. And the governor announced last night that he was able to secure the funding that would allow for that conservation easement to take place. So, Melissa, my question to you is that these conservation easements, these programs that are going on, tell me about the win-win involved, that these aren't anti-development and they actually are good for the Wisconsin climate and environment.
Yeah, this is something like exactly what you said, that this is a win-win. You know, this is nothing to do with limiting economic growth and development. Everybody wants to see responsible economic development. But this is something that is so important that it is why you're seeing partners come together. You're seeing local governments all throughout this region who are supporting this, this project, because they know that having greater access to nature and improving climate resilience is actually really good for their local economy. And they know that this is going to do things like protect outdoor recreation activities. It's going to make it to where we have, you know, more space available for fishing, for hunting, for skiing, for hiking, for trapping. All those things that, you know, we've talked about are threatened by climate.
And by the way, and for timber. Yeah. And for timber, for, you know, these are folks that think that a conservation easement means that no more logging is ever done and that it just all grows over. And nothing could be further from the truth. This is truly how you have that managed forest production, which is good for the economy,
exactly.
Right?
Right. We want this to be sustainable. We want this to be something that will, you know, serve our state in so many ways for years and years to come. And, you know, this is something, though, that we just have seen repeatedly from Republicans, that they want to stand in the way of getting things done. They want to, you know, block the use of state funding to get things done. They want to obstruct, you know, our most basic government functions. This is not this, as you know, this didn't used to happen. It used to be that projects like this were able to just move forward without the games and without the, you know, political tricks that we see from Republicans all the time, because they are so desperate to be in control of anything they can possibly be in control of.
Which, again, explains why the governor was, by his standards, which are rather low key, but by his standards, almost gleeful when he was talking about, you know, the prospect of new maps and not having such an extreme legislature. But again, bears reminding that for things like this Pelican River forest development, a lot of that Not only do you get the timber harvest revenue, but you still get tourism revenue, as again, you have managed recreational efforts mm-hmm. inside, and then you have development along the outside, on the outskirts of any given area like this. And then just one last thing that puts a cherry on top is his saying that this particular project makes significant progress toward the trillion trees pledge. Mm-hmm. Which again, Melissa, planting a trillion trees sounds like a lot, but it certainly would make a dent in our climate issues.
It absolutely would. And you know, one other really important aspect to this Pelican River Forest easement is that it will protect the headwaters of the Wolf River. And that is important for clean drinking water for a whole lot of folks who live downstream in places like Wausau and Merrill and New London. So, you know, you've got a lot of people who are, you know, relying on our efforts around conservation to help have clean water.
Yeah, without a doubt. And to the degree that it, you know, prevents anything down farther down the road in terms of, you know, sulfide mining in these very sensitive areas, well, then that's just one more good benefit that came out of the governor's State of the State address last night. So Melissa Baldoff gets us all up to speed on the climate and environmental portions of what was in the speech. Melissa, thank you so much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
And turning to some of the other components of the governor's remarks, he announced that enrollees in Badger Care Plus, the state's Medicaid program, will have access to over-the-counter contraception, including emergency contraception, without a separate prescription. The medication will be provided without any out-of-pocket cost, Evers said. That was right after he also made sure to promise to veto anything that further restricted women's reproductive health care rights. The governor renewed his pledge to fight efforts to make it more difficult to vote. Evers has vetoed so many Republican proposals over the past 5 years meant to make it harder for you to vote or harder for people Republicans disagree with to vote. They've sought to make changes to the way that election administration is run in the state. They have tried illegally to fire the State Elections Commission administrator. And Evers went on to say that in the coming weeks, he will be announcing new steps his administration is taking to increase voter turnout, but didn't reveal any details. And that definitely caught my ear when he teased that out. And so between that and so many other elements that he touched on, he laid out for Republicans the ability to work together on a whole host of issues. And what we're going to get instead, I certainly saw some of it already in the wake of the speech, is Republicans saying that they want to see more done for tax cuts. Middle class tax cut, which for them isn't actually middle class, it's more for the upper class. Retirement tax savings, married couple credit, child dependent credit. Because the theme all along is what they're going to say is returning the money to you, returning that surplus money to you. No, I don't want it all returned. You know why? Because I don't fill potholes. I don't plow the roads. I don't manage, you know, forest land to make it good for recreation. I don't do any of the things that state government can do when it's funded properly. I can't teach a classroom of 20 or 30 kids. That's what this surplus should be used for education, for the environment, for addressing the worker shortage. Focus on the investments that we can make with our budget rather than, again, just senselessly cutting the things that government does so that you end up widening the gap between the haves and the have-nots. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio is going to join us next for today's history lesson and some musical memories. First, a reminder to download that Civic Media app. You can get it for free at your favorite app store or Google Play. Back in a bit. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Warren Zevon was born this day in 1947, passed away back in 2006 at the age of 53. Lawyers, Guns, and Money, one of his many hits. Hey, a reminder, we are just 15 minutes away from our interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin, talking a bit about infrastructure in Wisconsin and the possibility of an agreement on border security and immigration. But for the moment, Melissa Kay joins us from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
That didn't sound at all like me, Greg. I mean, maybe a tiny bit.
Just a little.
Hello, I'm Melissa. I love baking.
When I played the Wicked Witch for the West, that's what I sound like.
How are things up there? I hear you're nursing a nasty cough. I think there's something going around for all of us here.
Oh, yeah. Like we said, 'tis the season. But, you know, otherwise, doing all right. Just plowing through the week. Tomorrow's my birthday, so I'm taking off.
Oh, well, I would have added that to the lineup here.
Happy 23rd birthday.
No.
23rd. Oh,
No. I'm 42.
Oh, you
never
didn't have to,
mind.
Yes, but...
Hey, I made it this far. I'm happy.
Are you doing anything special?
We are. We're going to go to the cities. My boyfriend is taking me to a hotel and a restaurant he found that caters to my dietary issues, a.k.a. there's no dairy. So I'm happy about that.
Nice.
And then we're going to go up to Duluth and visit my family, my brother and my nieces.
So nice. All right. Yeah. Well, good. I hope it's a great little birthday trip there for you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll expect a full report back next week. So
exactly.
I'm just gonna miss meeting, some of the people that are gonna be in Superior on Thursday. But
oh yeah, the president. yes. You will just miss that. But although if he hears it's your birthday, maybe he'll stick around and wait for you. You never know.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure.
He's very, very accommodating that way. All right. Let's get back to today's birthdays. That would include Mr. Neil Diamond turns 83 today. I don't know that I've mentioned it any time recently, but I mean, I basically have Neil Diamond's entire discography flowing through my veins because my mom was such a super fan. She played Neil Diamond 8 tracks relentlessly. So, I mean, it's just all in there. And I really hated him for that when I was a kid. Now, always going to turn up the radio when Neil Diamond comes on. That's the impact that a parent can have on you.
Kids in 8-track is a box-like piece of plastic.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know 8-track, you can Google it, you know.
But you could play them in the car.
Yes, you could.
Actually,
I had an 8-track player.
Actually, right now, Greg can help me demonstrate 8-track technology. So, Greg, turn the volume on the song all the way down for 2 seconds.
Yep.
Okay, now, ka-chunk. Okay, bring it back up. There you go. Dumbest technology ever. Let's stop the song halfway through so that then the tape can go backwards and play the second half of the song. Absolutely insane. John Belushi was born this day in 1949, passed away way too early in 1982 at the age of 33. Aaron Neville, like Neil Diamond, is 83 years old today.
Everybody plays the fool sometimes.
No, oh, hey, Greg Pak with a pretty good Aaron Neville impression over there. The California Gold Rush began this day in 1848 when James Marshall found gold at Sutter's Mill near Sacramento. By 1849, the news would get to Washington, D.C., and the rush was on. Also, let's see. So we had Neil Diamond's 83 today. Aaron Neville is 83. Just a couple of years older than them, Ray Stevens turns 85 today. Holy you might cow. Remember Ray Stevens' big novelty hit in the 70s.
He comes.
Boogity, boogity.
There goes.
Boogity, boogity.
Now, he did have a couple of very nice, mellow kind of country rock tunes, but he also had more than a few of these novelty songs, too. And people loved this one during the whole streaking craze.
And, you guys were weird now, back in the 70s, buddy. You guys were weird.
Yeah, again, I was just a kid, but I still can imagine just people hearing, wait, streaking was a thing? What was that about? I don't know. I was a kid. I can't tell you why, but some of those baby boomers, they sure like to... How did David Niven put it at the Academy Awards that year? Show off their shortcomings, as it were.
Nice.
On this day in 1998, the Titanic soundtrack hit number one on the U.S. album chart. You had Celine Dion with, Let's Talk About Love or My Heart Will Go On. Oh, and Britney Spears was certified diamond after selling 10 million copies of her album, Oops, I Did It Again. She became the first female artist to sell 10 million copies on both of her first two albums.
I just like the way, like, yeah, exactly. When she's like, oops, and you're like, oops, oops, I did it again.
Should have said, ope, ope, I did it again. Today on the National Day calendar, it says today is Just Do It Day, which, again, it's January 24th. I get it. I feel like every couple of days or so, something references New Year's resolutions, like, you know, don't quit day, and today is Just Do It Day, and tomorrow is going to be, hey, you promised.
You can do it day.
Yeah, yep. This is Beer Can Appreciation Day.
Yeah, that's why you should just do it.
Just do it. No, Greg, were you a collector, or Melissa, anybody around you? I had a couple of friends who were big time beer can collectors.
My Aunt Adeline, she was a big beer collector. She had cans lining her basements. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them were
bottles.
The generic ones. They're just gray that just had the stars on the tops and the bottoms said beer.
Classic.
Beer. Roger chimes in that his favorite Ray Stevens song is It's Me Again, Margaret. Not ringing a bell. I'm going to have to listen to that one over
I like
Guitars
the
news break here. I like My Girl Bill, which was very, you know, racy for its time. It's another good Ray Stevens one. This is, I was going to say about Beer Can Appreciation Day. Now we're at this point where, you know, eBay and everything else makes it so tough to be a bulk collector. I have somebody who had a huge beer can collection and he put it up on eBay or whatever. Somebody bought it, was going to come get it, came to his house, looked at it for a few minutes, picked out like four of them that he said were collectors and would be worth a lot of money, and then left and said, you can do whatever you want with the rest. So he paid for the whole collection, but he just left with the valuable ones.
Oh, man.
that's the world that we live in. Melissa, happy birthday again. Have a wonderful
happy
trip.
Happy birthday, Melissa.
Thanks for playing along. We'll see you next week.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. Our interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin coming up after news, and then our homeroom segment about school referenda coming up in 2024. You're up north.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap, the civic media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues, thanks to our fine sponsor, Chance Design Build. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From the Nevada primary, Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings you on-the-ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.